This is RSB in the Update, episode 357, recorded Friday, April 20th, 2012. A Soldiered Knight. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of RSB and the Update. It's going to be a slim one this week because, well, we don't have any content updates to discuss. We just got a bunch of news and little add-ons from the updates last week, so we're just going to discuss those, but Trekkie's here with me this week.
Yo!
So how's your week been?
Oh, exhausting.
Okay, well, we'll get to that later. So let's just jump right in and discuss this. We're going to go in a kind of a lightning round for most of these things because we are doing something new this week. I'm not sure whether it's going to be for the entire length of the show or just the RS update section, but a portion of it is actually going to go onto YouTube with a little loop of us sitting in our virtual set on RS, discussing this stuff. So, and then of course this will allow you guys to, let's say we want to show a video or something, we'll show the video and you can just see that right there. Or if we want to show an image, you'll see the image on the screen. But of course, the focus of this will still remain an audio show, so don't worry, you're not going to be missing out on too much.
Mm-hmm. And a special thanks to Alex43 for helping us record that little short video.
Yes, the numerous attempts we made to get it all right and everything. We got it pretty much all right this time. It's just a little bit, I think you can maybe see the little frame rate issues in the background. I'm not sure if that'll persist once it gets onto YouTube, but that's the way it'll be. So, all right. So, Mad May and Wild Weekends.
It's gonna be a wild ride.
Yes. So, if you're a member for the whole of May, not only will you receive the extra spins, so you'll get one extra spin a day for 93 spins in the entire month. Woohoo! You also get 5,000 extra loyalty points and an item which doubles XP gained up to a total of 250,000 experience. Now, what's your thoughts on this? Why is this happening?
Well, remember right now in late May is when all the students start kind of getting off school and you know it's summer vacation time. Well, why not try and get a head start on people getting membership and paying for that one more month? You know, and so, hey, it's a good way. You get 5,000 free points just for joining, and you get free spins that you can use. So instead of waiting till June to subscribe to RS, why not do it now?
Okay. Also, they say that each weekend during the month of May, they'll be bringing something different but always amazing. We won't say what these wild weekends will entail yet, but keep an eye on the website's news section, and they will be revealed very soon.
Wink, wink. Yes. So, let's see. Okay, it's going to be interesting.
I personally think that what we're going to see is next week we're going to see the release of Optimus, which is the next generation of the Jagex Bot Killer. So I'm thinking that this is going to be a whole way to celebrate once again, kind of like we celebrated when the first bot nuke happened. So that's what all these wild weekends and whatnot are going to be out about, to just have another celebration that the next phase of the bot nuke program is underway.
And odds
that's
are
my theory, at least.
And odds are Freeman's Trail will be released maybe next week as well, and we'll have a crazy dungeoning weekend.
Yeah, and remember, we're also still requiring the RuneCrafting update too for this month.
Well, maybe they'll postpone it. Never know.
I don't know.
Because in theory, they should have released at least one of those this week, but nothing happened.
Yeah, you know, that's happened before, where they take a week off and you end up with a bigger update next week. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see the bot nuke next week, plus the two content updates as well.
That would be a very fun weekend.
Yes, lots for us to discuss. That's why everybody should have sent questions in this week, because next week is also Focus Week. So, keep in mind for what's going to be happening in May.
Yes.
All right, so next up is another little community event. If you are hearing this early on Saturday, you will be able to participate in RuneScape Gathering 2012, which is just a place where people can come and chat with fellow RuneScape players. There's going to be a few JMods there. 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time.
I'm wondering how many spam bots would go over there just to spam their website. You never know.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but
then again, JMod's there, so they'll probably get the ban hammer a lot faster than just us reporting it.
Yeah, and just because that's the case, I'm going to put extra effort out to actually ship this show, earlier Saturday morning, probably, yeah, rather than in the afternoon. So, fingers crossed that we can get this out. If for some reason you're hearing this and it's past that and you're upset at us, that's because I had a problem getting the video to work. So, fingers crossed. I mean, I normally could pull this off, but this week I'm not too sure. So let's just hold our breath and let's say that this event happened. If you're listening to this, and maybe it has gone by because I was busy working on the video.
So anyway, the event will be called the RuneScape Gathering 2012. It will be on World 33. The Overflow Worlds will be 34, 35, and I guess it'll be all the way down. Location is the Ice Mountain, north of Falador City, and it'll be this Saturday, and it will be at 6 p.m. Local London time, so you can figure out where your time zone is and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and they have all the times listed in the thread and everything, too, so, yeah. And apparently there's zero people currently online.
How many?
Zero.
Yay! Maybe they're doing bot nuke right now, and by the time we finish, they'll release it.
No, I don't think so. But anyways, now moving on, Lores in History, the Rhymebound Letters. This is pertaining to next week's update, the next edition of the Fremenek Sagas.
Oy.
So if you're at all interested in this area, you can read up the lore that comes from behind. So enjoy if you are interested in the Dungeoneering Saga's mini quest. I just lost my connection to Google, so I hope this page doesn't disappear. Next up is the RuneScape Geography Guru that we were discussing last week. The winner is Magus Xerxes, and she will be getting a slightly soiled t-shirt.
I hope they washed it before they mailed it.
Well, you know, they say slightly soiled, so, I don't think they would wash it.
Well, it's going to be, what is it? Armpit sweat stain.
Okay, that's just a great thing to picture here, but let's just say that the people of this topic were... because it was a female that won, we're being slightly immature about that. So please do keep in mind if you are listening to this and you know someone that tends to be immature like that, that females are allowed to play this game as well. And, you know, it's not such a big shock because I bet it's something like 30% that actually do. So
where did this come from? This is new.
What?
The you saying, the whole immature girl play gamer thingy.
No, I'm saying that the guys were being immature about this.
What, on the forum?
Yes.
Oh, those. Well,
yes, those know, types of people.
You know those people. Once we won't name names, but you know who.
Yeah, so if you know someone like that, please do try to encourage them to be a little bit more civil, because, you know, it's a game that everyone can play, whether their age, whether they be a teenager, a young adult, or a parent, or a grandparent, or male or female. So please just do encourage them to behave themselves. And, you know, Trekkie, we did get this right. We did get all the locations right for this. Number one was Sears Village. Two was Berthorpe, which you said. And three was Lumbridge, which you said. I said four for Elkhard, and I said the other one for Caniffus. So we got them all right.
Yay. And one other thing to mention on your note, Shane, do you really, in the future, if you ever get a wife or girlfriend, do you want a gamer or the shopaholic? I'll let you guys decide on that.
Yeah, they can decide on that. But
if you want the shopaholic, by all means, go for it. If you like the gamer, we can play Halo with you next, like in around 2 in the morning. That's great too.
Nah, that's okay. So
Shane has never played Halo with a girl.
Why? What would that have to?
Male female bonding.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, let's talk about the post bag.
Okay, dokie.
So this is a fairly generic post bag. Nothing that shocking coming from the letters to the NPCs, of course. One to Juno the Snake regarding Zaros and whatnot. Juno offers some wisdom when the guy asked, "Do you think I made a mistake in helping Zaros to return?" And she basically says that Guthix rested a palm on my head and eased me with a smile. "The world is now yours, Juno. Yours forever. Free from the manipulations of gods. That is my first gift, but you deserve another. So I'm giving you my tears, and in all those tears, you will know that I am ever living. That I am with you, that I will be keep to be." He lifted a palm from my head and left to leave me alone in the world forever. So essentially, this one is saying that she can't answer whether he made a mistake, but based on this amount of wisdom, this guy will have to determine for himself if he made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, it's not like a player has much choice when they're playing the quest, because you have to separate yourself from player versus actual adventurer, because as an adventurer you would have a choice, but as a player you don't. So I guess this is just in the whole RPing sense, I'd think.
Should look at the last one, about Max, the completionist cape person.
Oh yeah, that one's funny too, isn't it?
I want to hit him.
Says, "Well, I'd love to be called the Completionist Cape Awarder. I'm a humble seller of the Max Cape. I'm well aware of Guthix, but unfortunately for you, other than being balanced at all 99s, I have XP all over the place. I'd have to say, after managing to solo an X and get the Torva, I had no real choice but to praise Zaros for giving me such luck."
Okay, then. He's under that, you know, the outer nicey guy exterior has a heart of black, of darkness.
Now you're gonna say that's just like me, eh?
No, I wasn't going there.
Okay,
you did. You went there, not me. You went there, so you said it, not me.
Okay, just checking, because you know sometimes that's what you would say. But in any case, shall we talk about what the Chaos Elemental said in this, since everything else is pretty much standard?
Alrighty, let's see.
It's 24. So I want to know what you think here first.
What, the film marathon thingy?
Yeah, what this means and what updates.
Ooh, Boba Fett. Boba Fett's the crucial. Let's see. What's up?
No, I'm waiting to see what you have to say.
the Star Wars nerds finally get their own little thing.
I don't know about that, but...
Boba Fett. You know who Boba Fett is, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Boba Fett's The Crucible. Classic courtroom drama reimagined with jetpacks and ziplines. Clone women fighting each other in zero gravity. Whoever wins is guilty of being a witch. Stars, Gerald Butlers, Jennifer Aniston, Nicole Capey, and Rollo Vegas. And you got the other two, which I don't care.
Yeah, let me tell you what our analysis said on this.
They're trying to please the larger audience.
Let's see. So, I think that what is going, this one might be, because it says reimagine. So, one of these, this is talking about a redo of a piece of content. Now, of course, they say courtroom drama because we have the courtrooms. But you're not going to redo the courtrooms to be much more interesting. This is pertaining to a piece of content. So, and where do you fight each other and somebody wins?
Duel arena.
Okay, that's one option. There's another option as well.
Wilderness.
Yes, the wilderness. Because you remember they said they were bringing a former bounty hunter back, yes?
Yeah, a while back.
Okay, so this is pertaining to either the wilderness or a revamped duel arena. That's got to be the case. And what is the Crucible?
You say it. You answer that.
I don't know. Mac.
All right. Shall I dictionary it?
Yes. Tell us what the Crucible is.
Alrighty then. Crucible, a container of metal or refractory material employed for heating substance to high temperatures, or a hollow area bottom of a furnace in which metal collects. So, or a okay. Severe searching test or trial.
There you go. Searching test or trial, bounty hunter. Now, what's Boba Fett?
Boba Fett, he's a bounty hunter.
There you go. So this is relating to bounty hunter. A new version of bounty hunter coming.
Yeah. Alrighty.
All right. Now, the Queen's Speech. True story of a queen who sets fire to people when she stutters. Parasites propose that she wrapped her jubilee speech. A soldiered knight rethinks the issue and finds the solution, his song. Okay, what's this?
A parody of The King's Speech, which was a really bad movie, in my opinion.
No, you know what this is? Of course there's going to be a Queen's Jubilee event on RuneScape. We know that, because Jagex is a UK-based company.
Alrighty.
But this is not what this is, of course. This is the other one. The Queen's Speech. So, what's a queen that sets fire to people when she stutters?
The fire, what was it? The, can't remember her name. During that fire maker's curse quest.
No, the Queen Black Dragon.
Ah, okay.
A dragon sets fire to people when she stutters? Queen Black Dragon?
Alrighty.
I didn't catch this one, but, I was going through this with one of our contributors, Cap, from last year. And what's a soldiered knight?
Paladin.
Okay. Now, what about to hit degrades kill?
Call it a diamond story. Am I reading the wrong one? No.
No, we're still on the same one.
Oh, my
a
bad.
Knighted soldier.
Soldiering.
A knight soldier. A soldiered knight. What is that?
Soldier knight. White dragon. I mean, not white dragon. White knights.
No. If you put in an anagram here, you can get a soldiered knight. Or you can rearrange it once more, and you can also get.
Not a clue. As
Dragon Kite Shield.
Red Knights.
Dragon Kite Shield.
I hate anagram, Shane. God.
So the Queen Black Dragon is going to drop the Dragon Kite Shield.
Sorry.
You know, we could get sued for copyright for that.
Only if you know what the song is.
Yeah, that's true. It was only a second or two. But so that's two of them. So New Version of Bounty Hunter and Queen Black Dragon dropping the Dragon Kite Shield. Now, this next one, The Wrath of Carnelian. I think that this one might...
Diamond Story to Treasure. Diamond Story to Treasure, so maybe it's the next part of the desert stuff.
It could be. That's what we thought, too, because, you know, what quest involved diamonds in it, right, so far? Because Desert Treasure had the four of them completely, so that makes sense. A diamond story to treasure. And what else do you treasure? Desert treasure, right?
Yes. And so, also the idea of a diamond in the rough.
Exactly. So that's good because, you know, Desert Treasure's been a long time, so maybe something on that, maybe more
actually,
to see what the Davidians have to say about what they did to Edgeville.
Actually, yeah, it's funny. I just went in and Rune RS wikied it, Carnelian arm, Carnelian part of it, the Wrath of Carnelian.
Uh-huh.
I cannot say that guy's name. The title of the thing, The Wrath of Carnelian. Shane, help me out here.
The Wrath of Carnelian?
Carnelian. There we go. I can't say that today. It's actually the Carnelian armor is obtained during the Hazel Cult quest by defeating Almon. It requires a defense level of 1 to equip.
Okay.
It's from the quest was
Majorat based, so it makes sense that once we do this, we'll see that the Davidians did actually were doing something with Edgeville, and maybe the Majorat will be involved in it. So
we'll basically probably something to do with Ardong then.
Yep. All right, and Some Like It Cold, 10th Anniversary Edition. You know what this is?
Some Like It Cold.
10th Anniversary Cape.
Some Like It Cold, so it gets behind back up to the Patrol Mountain.
Oh, maybe.
To B, C, 2, D,
oh, yeah, right. A piece of wartime camp.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. What's, elementary penguin singing B, 2, plus C, 2, plus D, 2, equals C, 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 and B, S?
I do not know.
Let's see. 2, 2, 2, 3, 2, D, 4. No, that's nothing. I don't know,
but the point is that we've uncovered some very interesting things here from this post bag, and specifically the Chaos Elemental speaking. Cap and I were pretty sure that a knighted soldier is indeed, or a soldiered knight rather, is indeed a dragon kite shield. So let's just hope that that is actually going to be what this is going to be. So that's it for the post bag this month. Isn't it cool. So nice when the Chaos Elemental speaks?
I don't know. I wish it wouldn't kill me every single time I got near it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's it. That is what it's supposed to do because, well, it's very dangerous like that.
You know, you remember the first day it came out and everybody went over there to try and kill it?
Yeah.
Then we always got one person who would come in with like a party of five or six, just crash it. I went back there and I grab a inventory full of wheat and I said, "I'm gonna kick you." I made a waste time killing me in runes. All you got was inventory full of wheat.
And the Chaos Elemental is also one of the bosses that unequips items too, so it's a pretty in-depth boss. So it's well within its right to speak about future updates like this. But speaking of future updates, next week we are definitely getting the next Dungeoneering Saga.
Yay.
Jagex did post some pictures on their forums, but they also sent some out to the fan sites as well, which you can find in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. I still really didn't do enough dungeoneering, I don't think, at the right floors in order to get the first sagas, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to do the second ones or anything. But,
honestly, all the sagas are the level 1 to, or the floors like 1 to 10 or 12. Basically, the only way you can get the sagas is if you do like a floor 1 to 10 in around C2 or higher. It does not show up in C1, okay. Which is what you and I usually do, is just C1 of those floors to get through it. You have to do at least C2 to get it. Which I've gotten 2 out of the 3, and that was pretty much it.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do for next week. But this is definitely on the way. So I hope all our dungeoneering folks out there will be looking forward to this. I don't classify myself as a dungeoneering person yet, so maybe will that be you, Trekkie?
I like it. I wish I could get more people to do it though. All my dungeoning crew have, real life things to do, and so I can't exactly always ask them to drop what they're doing and just do a 4.
Well, you could pay them.
No. I'm not going to be a leecher.
Well, pay them with real money to get them to come on.
No.
Okay.
Not going to happen, Shane. Nyeh.
All right, we'll have a look at these screenies and enjoy them. Next up, something strange is happening on April 28th. We don't have much information about this. It's some kind of surprise campaign by Jagex, I'd imagine. All we got was that something is going to be happening on April 28th at 9 p.m. UK time, and it has a banner called See the Future. Spread the word. Grand Exchange. Catherby. Ardoyan. So, what does this mean? Like, 9 words. See the future. Spread the word. Grand Exchange. Catherby and Ardoyan. So, what's happening at these places?
Maybe we'll have Grand Exchange in all those places instead of just one central location.
But that doesn't make sense because Catherby and Ardoyan are so close to each other.
See the future. So you're better at anagrams than I am, so
I don't think this is an anagram.
You never know, man. They always do something like this.
Maybe there's going to be a landing of a spacecraft and there'll be people with pointy ears coming off it.
Pointy ears, right. When does this happen in May? Let's see. I think it's happening in 28th.
Well, aside from the wild May weekends that we mentioned, but we already know that. So, I mean, maybe it's some kind of event or something. I don't know. I don't know. I'm truly at a loss for this. If anyone out there listening to this has any ideas about what this is, please just send a comment in to the show by replying on the forum topic, rsbnb.com/forums, RSBNB update subsection. Let us know what you think this is. Personally, I have no ideas. So maybe when we get the community together, we could have some kind of idea what this is about. I have nothing else to say with this unless you don't.
Is it their birthday?
No. I don't believe so, no.
I got nothing. So we'll find out next Saturday, and we'll pop this into the forums and see what people are going through their brains.
Yeah, all they say is something pretty cool will be happening at exactly 9 p.m. UK time on Saturday, April 28th. Maybe we should do a live show that time.
Up to you. Hey, maybe they'll give free to play players a 1 weekend free membership just for them to try it out. You never know.
What does that have to do with the Grand Exchange?
You can go to the Grand Exchange. You can go to the Grand Exchange and it'll automatically teleport you to the Ardonian or Catherby. So you can go straight into the heart of member worlds.
I don't know. I don't know. All right. Well, that's it for RS updates this week. Moving on to questions, a small selection of questions. So we'll just get going. The first one is an audio question from J.E. Dunster.
Trying my hardest to report gold-selling bots and spammers, yet however many I report, a new one seems to take its place. I was just wondering if it is helpful at all to JEX for us to report these spammers, or if it barely makes a difference at all. Thank you in advance for answering.
Sounds like he kind of got cut off there, but we get the gist of the question. So, I sympathize with you in that it is incredibly hard to report those gold sellers and spammers and bots and whatnot, just because there's so many of them, you know? So,
it's one of those things where you remain diligent. Just do it because you know it's the right thing to do. And keep in mind, they did make reporting a whole lot easier than before.
Yes. If you're not already doing it, use the right click report option, which can be enabled in your general game settings. Then it's just one click away and you get the whole report interface up and ready to go. So definitely do that.
Actually, you can also do, if you don't have that option open, you can also do just click on report abuse, and they'll actually have a chat log of what everybody said for past 50 lines or so. You can just find the person's name and report it that way. That's what I've always done.
Okay.
I've only done the right click.
Yeah, well, that doesn't
thing.
Work very well for bots.
Yeah, that's when you
say stuff.
I use that for gold seller people, but I use the right clicking method for those who with the names that you're pretty sure are bots. You know, it's like the level 3 character whose name is like 34EDJ57TRYY7ZAL. Like, yeah, you're not a bot.
You mean you are a bot? Yeah, okay. That's the case. Just use right click or do what Trekkie said, and just if you're reporting the spammers, just click report, then you can select from in the chat list. It is hard to do, but it does help, because the way I'd imagine their system works is they have an automated system that flags suspicious behavior, I'd guess, because they were able to ban so many people after the last bot nuke, so they knew what they were looking for. So they do have some kind of automated stuff to it. But if they were actually going to do this in a semi-efficient way, what they would do is they would say, if we get a user report in any one of these usernames that we're already watching, move this to the immediate front of the queue to have a real person investigate this. So essentially what this would mean is that if you report someone, it would move them to the front of the queue and get them dealt with faster. So, and even if that's not the case, it will still put them on the list to be looked at some point by a person or something. So it's definitely worth reporting, even though it's hard. The worst thing I think you can do is just walk by and let it happen, because that's probably as bad as condoning it as you can get. And, you know, sometimes I will go to one of the botting hotspots and just spend 10 to 15 minutes there reporting a whole bunch of different names and everything, because it's something that we can do, and it's so easy now with just right-click to report. So I do that from time to time.
Actually, when bots started to come back, I had one of my friends was messing with a bot while she was killing blue dragons, and what she did was she would kill a dragon to roughly 25% HP, and this would show another target, and that bot would kill it and get nothing. And so it was funny. She kept saying that she just kept started ranging blue dragons, and the bot would finish it off, and she would get the reward, get the drop.
Okay, I see. Well, I don't know if there's anything else to mention on that one, so I want to say that
stay diligent.
Dunster 1 for sending that in, and yes, stay diligent, and whatever we do, each as an individual person, is ultimately a good thing to help the bot problem. So, with that being said, next question.
You want me to read it, or is it another one? Yes, another please. Audio. Okay, this is from Ring. Okay, do you think it's a coincidence that there is an increased number of American and Canadian startups are going to countries with more lax patents policies, i.e. software patents? Software patents and patent controls are a fundamental problem to a tech startup, in my opinion, and moving to another country to avoid the issue of them seems to be like a valuable option. I would love to hear your thoughts. I also have a security question.
Okay, let's take the first one before we move on.
Okay.
No, I don't think it's I don't think that's something that's actually happening because of the patent laws. Because if you think about it, a patent in the U.S. is enforceable worldwide. If a company in the U.S. sees somewhere else is infringing on their patent, they'll go hunt after them. Do I think software patents are stupid for things like slide to unlock? Yes, but at the same time, if I was in my own position, I was making money off this, would I want to prevent other people from doing that? Maybe, because you know that wasn't done before, and it's if this was the same thing, if you slid to unlock something in real life, that would be indeed patentable. Because I'm sure stuff like the Ziploc bag and Velcro is patented probably somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can see it from both ways. I can see the point of patents, like the slide to unlock issue. That always comes to my mind when it comes to software patents. But there are other stupid patents as well. The whole reason why Adobe bought Macromedia way back when, because for those of you who don't remember, Macromedia was initially separate from Adobe. So this means that Macromedia had Flash, Dreamweaver, Fireworks, and Adobe was just its own little entity. But the problem is that Macromedia was infringing on one of Adobe's patents into how they did the menuing system in their applications. So this spurred a whole controversy and everything. And it might have been just because of timing and everything, but that eventually led to Adobe swallowing up Macromedia, which has actually turned out for the better in terms of Flash and whatnot. So, I mean, that's just an example of a stupid software patent, but I can see things both ways here.
Yeah, usually most, almost all countries kind of sort of observe the copyright patent thing, but you know, some countries just don't care.
Because
but
if you don't, you'll end up being an international pariah.
Whatever.
Okay, second part.
Alrighty. Shane, as we all know, TrueCrypt is a fantastic tool for encrypting, for encryption when used properly. But sadly, the website is not secure using SSL. Does this mean that your ISP has the ability to proxy cache the TrueCrypt download? Does this also mean they can provide a cache download that is tampered with, for example, a version that provides a backdoor for the government? How can normal users verify that their download is backdoor-free? I personally use GPG to verify the credibility of the download, but I want to recommend this to people at my high school. But normal people aren't sophisticated enough to do GPG verification. Thanks, and sorry for the long question. If time is an issue, I don't mind the first question is discarded.
Okay, there's two things here. First things first, TrueCrypt isn't exactly something that normal users need to worry about using. I don't think so, at least. I just think it's an extra layer that people don't need, but in regards to it, the simplest way is to check a hash of the file, and, you know, that's as simple as you can get. GPG is okay. Simpler might be an MD5 or SHA-1 hash of the file. If TrueCrypt provides it on their website, they probably do. That's the most important thing to check, because if one bit in that file is changed, the entire hash will be messed up. So that's the way you can check that. But in regards to actually bypassing proxy servers, what you could do, since they don't offer an HTTPS download, which for everybody else listening who might not know, HTTPS means that a website connection you have is secure, in that nobody between you and the website is theoretically able to get into the file and access it, or access the stream of contents, I mean. So it's just a way of being more secure. But if you don't have HTTPS, what I do recommend for this, to make sure that you are bypassing the proxy, there is a Unix command out there that you can use called wget. It's available on most Linux distributions, and it has an option to say no proxy. And what this does is it, everywhere along the path from you to your ISP and all the different routers along the way, it will tell them that I do not want a proxied version of this file. So that's something you can do if you really want to be uber paranoid about this. But as usual, I do think you are being a little bit paranoid about this, and maybe it's time to invest in the tinfoil hat. Because he is right in that TrueCrypt doesn't offer a HTTPS version of their website, which is something I think they would do. Okay, and they do offer PGP signatures rather than hashes, so hence why he says that. Yeah, that's probably the best way to go about it. And I mean, PGP is okay, and it's relatively easy to use, so you can just educate your school peers on that. But I really don't think there's anything to be worried about.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done. Do you ever encrypt anything?
No, I don't share anything on the internet except between my family. And yeah. I used to use Make a Upload for that, but now I'm just using regular email. Once in a while, I had to throw in Dropbox into it, but that's only for something really big.
Yeah, and you know it. All those family pictures. It's all good and everything, because the TrueCrypt is a good thing to have. And personally, I only encrypt invoices and whatnot that have financial info on them, because if somebody was to get control of the computer for some reason, that's the only thing that I'd be really worried about falling into enemy hands. All right. Next one, and last one, unfortunately, is from Coil163. Shane, why so serious? Well, I'm a very serious person, and I totally despise it when people take a opportunity to when people try to present themselves as just trying to be sarcastic or whatnot to have fun. I just like to be to the point.
Mm-hmm. You don't get that reference, do you?
No, I don't.
And there we go. Let's move on then.
Also to you both, what do you think of Siri, and do you think it's possible to produce an emotional response or make it feel emotion? Thanks. God of sexiness, sexy coil.
Well, last time I told Siri that I'm going to destroy you, she said, "What did I do to deserve this?" So there's some emotion in that thing, albeit it's basically, robotic eyes.
Yeah, and you know, the whole Siri thing is a program, really. There's no real AI behind it as much as Apple would like to think there's an AI behind it. It uses Wolfram Alpha and Google for its examples, so that's where everything comes from. So it's just to make people feel good about the software they're using, when in reality, it's just basically a glorified search engine. But in regards to actually making it produce an emotional response, maybe depending on the tone of the question, because what you would want to do is you'd want to, based on the words the user suggests, you'd want to say, rate them on a scale of what kind of emotion the user is presenting, then either go to somebody to amplify that emotion or try to calm them down based on that. So you would be able to tell through some kind of index about whether or not they're emotional and whatnot. But to make it feel emotion in terms of true emotion without, like, based on actual scenarios and not just blind words, not going to happen in a long time.
Yeah, you know, Syria is basically the little sister of Watson, anyway. And
well, not even they use total. You can't really say that because they use different computing methods. Siri uses traditional logic-based computing, whereas Watson is a learning-based computer.
Both of which will use Google to look for stuff.
Well, Watson also has all of Wikipedia on it and all of the Library of Congress.
Which you can also do the same thing. It's like Googling and finding the same thing.
Yeah.
But so. Anyway, I don't know, we're a long way from Siri actually being like the, you know, something programmed to your house. You know, like remember that? I don't know if you saw the movie iRobot, where, you know, you basically have the robotic lady all over the house and every screen everywhere. So we're a long way from actually doing that, having computers run our lives completely.
And well, yeah, in a true sense of being AI worthy, yes. But in terms of actually emulating a personality, no, we're pretty close to that, and that's what Siri is attempting to do. It's just not very smart. I mean, it's not an AI in the true sense. It will be able to adapt and think for you. It just goes based on inputs. And that's the problem with computing in general these days. It needs to be a learning-based system.
And then one day it learns that it does not need us anymore, and then Terminator happens. And suddenly they actually forget, and they actually make their own version of Skynet, and next thing we know, we're fighting off an invasion of robots. But then we're losing every day because the robots, Skynet, just, you know, hacks into every other computer, even our own little cell phone, and next thing we know, they're spying on us too.
All right. So, well, with that being said, let's move on to tech news. Definitely headed for a shorter show this week, which is a good thing, I think, once in a while, eh? Uh-oh, you still there, or did I lose you?
I'm here.
Okay. Announcing the Windows 8 editions. So this is something all the Windows fans get together to celebrate whenever a new version of Windows comes out. People were happy with Windows XP, just Home and Pro. People really were upset with Windows Vista and Windows 7 because they had Windows Vista 7 Starter, Windows Vista 7 Home Premium, Windows Vista 7 Professional, Windows 7 Home, or Windows 7 Vista Enterprise, Windows 7 Vista Ultimate, and then they also had versions for Europe as well. So I think there's about 8 versions of Windows 7 and Windows Vista when you really boil it down. But Windows 8 is going to be a whole lot simpler. There's only going to be 3 versions of it.
So what versions are they?
Well, there's going to be Windows 8, which is just plain old vanilla Windows 8. Basic which one. Is for you and me, which Oops. Is essentially Windows 7 Home Premium.
I have no idea what I did.
And then also, it's going to be pretty much every feature that, a home user is going to need. It's not going to have all the advanced stuff that a professional organization might need, like domains, encrypted file systems, group policies, BitLocker and whatnot, remote desktop. All that falls to Windows 7 or Windows 8 Pro, which is going to be kind of like Windows XP Pro, I guess. And then the third version is Windows RT, which is going to be the ARM version for tablets and whatnot. So definitely a whole lot simpler and a lot easier to comprehend. So basically anybody is just going to need Windows 8. Unless, of course, you need a remote desktop or something like that for some reason. When I don't see why you'd need that because, well, there's plenty of other consumer-based solutions that do that for for cheaper and easier to use. So definitely good to see that Microsoft is slimming down on this and having only three versions this time rather than eight. I'd like to see them pull an Apple one day and just have one version for everything, but I don't think that's going to happen with Windows, because they don't want to give these features to the home users, because they need to get the extra money out of the enterprises and whatnot who need Pro. I'm happy about that. Do you want to take the next one?
If I can, I can't even get to it right now. Let's see. YouTube liability. Woo! What the? Hey, go away. Uh-oh. Go away. All right. Let's see. I think I click on, I think this is the wrong link.
Let's see. Whoops!
Nice, Shane.
That would be my fault.
Nice.
That would be my fault. All right, so okay, you can get the new link now. The old link was Wild Rose Government wouldn't tolerate discrimination. Okay.
Okay. Same thing.
The right link is in there now.
Let's refresh. It will work. Let's see. I'm getting the same link.
Okay. Well, I'll cover this one then. YouTube liable for copyright infringement courts rule from Torrent Freak. So essentially what's going on here is that a German court ruled that YouTube is responsible when a user posts a video containing copyrighted music or video content. So on top of the current content ID system, which is a system that matches, you know, if you upload something, it says that this is such and such a song by such and such a label. Would you like us to display ads on this? This German court now wants YouTube to install additional keyword-based features that detect when copyright material is uploaded. So essentially what this is saying is that if you upload something to YouTube that's copyright, YouTube is at fault because YouTube controls the what gets put on the website, which makes sense. But, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate for YouTube that they have to deal with this when it's their own users who are being not that bright and putting up copyrighted content, which I find is unfortunate in this case. I think it should be going back to the users at fault here. What do you think?
So basically 99.99% of everything on YouTube is basically considered copyright infringement, because almost every video has some song in it, whether they are using it for another video or if they're lip syncing to it. So basically, yeah, you're taking out every single video on here because someone really likes the song and, you know, they're posting it to share, or if anything. So basically, only ones that can post anything is going to be the big corporations then.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, wouldn't that also say that, you know, all the YouTube videos of like, you know, StarCraft 2 and whatnot is considered copyright infringement?
See, I don't know if that's the case, because granted, the StarCraft 2 copyright would be belonging to Blizzard, but the user is playing the game. So you raise an interesting point there.
But then, you know, you agreed to use their software. You didn't agree to. I mean, some people are making money off of making videos like this. So where's Blizzard's cut then, if they're going to do all this?
Yeah. So, and this is just so unfortunate for YouTube.
So honestly, you know, prove to me that copyright infringement actually make corporations lose more money. You know, they're still making multi-million billion dollars every single year. How are they going to say they're losing money?
Well, they're losing money because they're not the direct forefront for where the content's coming from. They want to be the one that provides the content and provides the way it's distributed. They don't want to see it on YouTube.
But they post this stuff on YouTube anyway.
They do.
Exactly. So should we just report them for posting it on YouTube now? Because remember, a lot of the big companies also post with their own shows and everything else on YouTube. And should... You know, so like, oh, hey, we have some not good videos here,
but,
so we
but,
should
but
get
really
rid of it.
They're the owners of it, so it doesn't matter if they post it.
But well, here's the other thing that happened a couple of years ago. We had a singer who posted his own music video with permission from Viacom or whoever big corporation it was onto his own little channel. It got taken down for copyright infringement, even though it was him singing in that video.
Yeah, so, you know, the same thing actually happened to Justin Bieber, too. He posted himself singing one of his own songs, and it got taken down.
Well, no one really cares about Justin Bieber, baby, anyway. But, you know, just saying...
No, just it's just the idea behind it.
So, it's stupid that they're thinking that, you know, all right... As I remember, most copyrights don't actually have full international
no, they
power.
Don't.
So
that's why that's why we have our own recording agency, and you guys have your own there.
So basically, every single video on YouTube is dead.
Yeah, pretty much with this
only
case.
But unless that,
you know, it's like the bot thing. It's like the whack-a-mole thing. You can't target it all, and I don't like piracy as much as the record people do, as you guys know, listening to this from the past. I am strongly against it. But the problem is the distribution means. I mean, as long as there's an easy way to get it, people will get it. I don't know about you, but I was able to convert my sister from downloading songs illegally to just buying them on iTunes.
Oh, you can always do the other way, which is you can always just go down to the local library and borrow the CD and copy from there.
Well, that's also illegal when you think about
it. Hey, I'm borrowing it. It's the same thing. I got the CD. It's the physical copy. I could be the same thing as, hey, Shane, you want to copy this DVD that I just bought? Here you go. So should you also get in trouble for copying my DVD?
You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that.
I bought it.
But you don't own it. You just own the rights to view it.
Uh-huh.
I would need to pay money to that. I would see no problem with you giving me a copy of a DVD if I had already paid to buy it if mine broke or something. I don't see any issue with that. Like, let's say one of my DVDs got warped. I would have no problem going online and finding the torrent for it and downloading it, because I'd already paid for that.
So, but you're not paying the company to get a replacement.
I know, but I've already paid for the rights to have it. So as far as they're concerned, there's already one copy been sold. And, you know, you can't track how many of these things are downloaded online. Well, they can't, but, I mean, whoever owns a torrent's good.
And, as contradicting as it may sound, most people who pirate actually do buy the game or the video sooner at a later date.
Oh, really?
Yes, I do. Well, I probably should not have admitted that, but I do. I buy it.
Okay.
Oh, well, everybody knows anyway. I don't care. If they're going after me, it's going to take them a while. I won't be the only one. I mean, Shane, you've seen my collection of video games and movies. I bought them. I buy them. You know, Mass Effect isn't worth $60, but it's worth when it's on sale around $40 or $30. They're fun to play.
Okay.
Especially, you know, why, you're like, hey, Shane, you always say, like, you know, wait for the sale to come on. Okay, I'll wait. And let's also face it, Shane, a lot of video games lately have been really dirt crap, and they're not worth the money anyway. One of the big cases back then was Ghostbusters. I wanted to try it out, and next thing I know, I'm getting killed by a candle because it's so laggy. And it was a horrible port. You know, would you like to spend the $50, $60 to buy that one game, play for 3 hours, and then find out you hated the damn thing?
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of the same thing that video rental stores used to do, too. They used to have, I don't know if you guys had rentals of games there.
Yeah, Blockbuster, but they're kind of going downhill anyway.
Yeah, they're gone here, too. That used to be the idea behind it, is you'd rent a game for a weekend or 7 days, and you'd play through it then. And you'd pay them $7 or $8. I don't know what it went up to before they died out, but that's kind of what we're missing in this day and age, I think. The fact that people can't get quick access to games and whatnot, like you're saying, what if Steam had a video game rental service where you could pay $8 and have the game for a week? Would you then do that to play Mass Effect?
There is no place. Well, maybe.
Because by the logic, if there's people who aren't buying it, you would be likely to get more people to buy it because the price would be cheaper and you would draw more customers in, theoretically, if they did want to play it and rent the game like you used to be able to rent the game. So, anyways, aside from that, definitely an interesting discussion here about this. I don't think it should be YouTube at fault here. But at the same time, the users really, how are you going to police over however many millions of users view YouTube daily? How are you going to police that many people? So I guess you kind of have to go for the YouTube itself rather than actually policing the people, which is unfortunate. But I'd really wish you could police the people, but you can't. All right, last tech news story. Flashback botnet not shrinking. Huge number of Macs still infected.
Really?
So Dr. Webb reported earlier this month the largest OS X infection ever. It reached, it's currently around 650,000. It used to be a lot higher. People said it was down to about 30,000 now. That was Kaspersky. But Symantec also said it shrunk by 60% down to 142,000. But apparently it's still hovering around 650,000. And this was due to an exploit in Java on OS X. And, you know, it's the same thing that happens with any modern operating system these days. Vulnerabilities in third parties most of the time that cause this. And you know, really, it's unfortunate that it comes to this, but the users just really need to be careful about what they're clicking on.
Well, as I recall a couple of years ago, a lot of people praise Mac because they never got a virus. And this kind of shows
that.
Yeah,
it's true because it's such a low percentage of the marketplace that it's not a contact, that's not a target. But when you've got the low-hanging fruit, to use an analogy, like Java, this hole in Java, for example, it becomes an easy hole because people who do install Java do actually might think they need Java to access this website and just say, okay, allow. Then, you know, they're into their system and they got the whole backdoor Trojan and everything, which is unfortunate. And, you know, that's a reason why macOS Lion actually shipped without Java installed. But if you're one of our listeners here, you probably have Java installed because, well, you need Java to play RuneScape. So, word of advice for all our Mac listeners out there, just be careful what websites you go to. And if a website says it needs Java and you don't trust the website or you don't know what it needs Java for, don't allow the applet to run. That's the simplest way to protect yourself against this one. But yeah, apparently it's not going down, which is too bad. And even Apple has released a fix for this too.
And also aren't companies now starting giving antivirus programs for Macs anyway? I remember Norton.
Yes, but most of them are garbage.
First one was always Norton, so that one's always garbage anyway.
Yeah, and you know, Mac antiviruses really aren't needed at this point because there's not enough viruses floating around the internet to get as there are on, say, Windows XP. Just because it's not such a big target as Windows XP ever was. So the best way to protect yourself is to make sure you don't type your password in for things that you're not expecting that you'll need it. Don't run strange Java applets. Don't go to strange websites. And finally, just be very careful about what you install onto your computer. Which is why a good thing coming out in Mountain Lion will be to limit installed applications to the Mac App Store only for people who maintain systems. Which is really a good thing in my view. But more on Mountain Lion when it comes out this summer. Okay, so that's it for tech news. Moving on to other things now, including the Skill of the Month update for April. Defense Skill of the Month. So we did have a bit of a lead change, albeit temporarily, in that earlier in the month, Adiv was winning, but marking has since overtook Adiv. So currently it is marking 22 in first place with roughly 4 million experience gained. Second place is Adiv with 3.1 million experience gained. And third place is the Lion 777 with 1.5 million experience gained. About a week left. I don't think there's any way to catch the top three. Maybe you can catch number three, but I think it's going to be a battle at this point between one and two. Should definitely be interesting to see where this goes, to see if Adiv pulls up a bit of more of interest and goes back and takes the win away from marking.
Yes. Come on, Adiv. Keep it interesting for Shane.
Yes. I mean, these are the most kind of interesting races where they're always changing. I mean, that's the beauty of horse racing.
You would gamble?
And that's why... Well, no, I don't gamble in horse racing. This is also why I like elections so much, because it's like a horse race to the end and you never know who's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like this week, marking was polling directly even with Obama. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in November when Romney and Obama go head-to-head, whether or not this even lead pans out.
It will be a coin toss.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
just like our election here on Monday. Currently, there's one party in the lead, but they're in the lead by about 6 to 7 points. And who knows if this will result in a change or not, because it's been the same government for 41 years. So it's definitely an interesting race to watch. And that's what I love about Skill of the Month and why I'm so adamant that everybody always keep racing until the end, because it makes it so interesting for me to watch. I'm done now with Skill of the Month. That was just my motivational speech on trying to encourage people to race faster.
Yes. Grab the whip, Shane. Ow.
Yes, that was on you for not playing StarCraft with us last night.
I did play StarCraft. I just had an episode. What did you apparently?
Well, you can tell us more
that.
About that in a bit. Okay, in a bit. To remind you that last week we did release a new type of signature, the RuneScape Personal Skill Signature. If you had not had a look at this yet, please do have a look. This is truly customized signatures just for you. rsbnb.com/runescape-personal-skill-signature-personal-signatures. Link will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. It's a great system. I'm happy the way it turned out. And this was actually created by Chief Snake for us. So once again, thanks to him. So you should make a sig. Can I make one for you?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay.
Actually, it's
how
funny
many quest points do you have?
I don't know. I'm missing one.
Okay. Well, that's probably 329 then. Okay. We'll give you a member signature. What color background would you like?
Not pink.
How about orange?
You decide. Surprise me. You owe me a signature for years anyway.
Right. I remember that.
that's a flash. That's a flashback, isn't it? How long ago was that, Shane? What, 5 years?
Oh, a long
Six?
Time ago. Long time ago. Long time ago.
Let's see.
Whoopsies. I did that wrong. I almost got your signature for you. Hang on.
Don't forget to spell my name correctly, Shane.
I did. we'll just go with black on white since I'm running on time here, but there you go.
Ew. Okay, let's see what it looks like. Why do I look like I'm wearing a dress?
That's the golden mining suit.
I know, but with the background, it looks like I'm wearing a dress.
Yeah, so that's what the signature system yields, so everybody go out there and check it out. All right, achievements of the week.
Ow. Where'd it go? Okay, so we got three this week.
Yep.
congratulations to Touchpad Pro, who got 99 Magic and 99 Smithing all in the same day. Probably, what's that spell
combined
called?
Combined effort. Super
Heat. Super Heat, there you go. Super Heat, probably using Super Heat. And congrats to Eon, who got 99 Fire Making on April 14th. So, huzzah, keep up. Let's get some more 99s going in.
congratulations to you both. Good 99s, and hope to see more next week. I'm proud at how our community works and gets 99. So many 99s. The fact that we can go through most weeks and actually talk about people getting 99s. That's quite nice.
What was that?
Oh, that was me. I was just searching for something on this page. But anyways, I feel like I have so much pressure on me right now.
Okay.
Because it's my turn to choose a pick, and last week Kala had a great pick, and the week before you had a great pick as well. So I've got a huge burden on me to choose something that's actually decent here. So I'm going to try and choose something that I think that will help people out with their day-to-day lives and organizing. I have another one that I want to use, but it's not quite ready for prime time yet in my view, so I will just hold off on that one. But first things first, this pick is an application that I use primarily on iPhone, but they also have Windows, Linux, Android versions called Evernote. I don't know if anybody out there's ever heard of it, but essentially what it is it's like a digital notebook. Anything you would use a notebook for. You can use it to store phone numbers if you want to. I don't know why you'd do that, but you could. You can use it for to-do lists. You can use it to store recipes. You can use it to store invoices and receipts. You can use it to just write things down like a journal type thing. The possibilities are endless. If you're using a mobile version, it's got an interesting feature where you can take a picture of some text. And what it will do is it will, you take a picture and you put this in a note. It will send it to the Evernote servers, and the Evernote servers will run OCR text recognition on it, and it will then convert that note that you took, the picture of it, into searchable text. So when you search for whatever was in that note, it will show up in your search. Currently, I'm using Evernote to keep track of some RuneScape XP data. I'm also using Evernote to keep track of RuneScape history of, like, let's say I go somewhere and I remember that, oh yeah, once upon a time I was running new nature runes with Larry R here, and this sort of thing happened. So I could just pull it up on the computer and quickly fill that in. What?
I just got a spin ticket on RS by killing an imp.
Okay.
I just logged in really quick just to hit to the bank, and then I saw an imp. I killed it, and I got a free spin. Okay. So, all right.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you for interrupting my pick.
You do that to me all the time. Anyway, go ahead, Shane.
Well, that's pretty much all there is to say. Evernote. It's also a good little to-do manager. So say you have a RuneScape to-do list. You just have a file called to-do, and then you enter things in using their to-do checkboxes. Now, let's say you also have a programming to-do list, and you have that in a different one. And now you can say to-do, colon, true, or something to that effect in the search, and it will show you all the items with completed to-do items. So it's a way to have multiple to-do lists without actually using a to-do application. That's one thing I found. I'm not sure if I'm going to use it that way, but it's definitely got lots of nice little features that everybody should check out. I think they've even got a web version if you don't want to use it on your computer or phone. But yeah, that's Evernote. So, what have you been doing? And what's this episode you mentioned, if you want to mention it?
Episode? What episode? Oh, episode? Well, I won't say anything. It's it's classified information between four or five people. But
Okay.
you can say it if you want, Shane. And
No, that's okay.
Let's see. Yeah, so basically, I haven't been doing too much. Made a decent batch of glories that Dragon Souls I came in, and other than that, I've been doing my Citadel, and haven't been on as much as I usually do. Been busy, and did some 1v1s in StarCraft, and spent time with you on STO.
Yay! What else?
That's pretty much it. Other real life stuff, and that's it.
Okay. As for me this week, I have been killing water fiends actually for my charms on RS. So I've just been doing a bit of that. Aside from that, we also did our video shoot 2 days this week so far of getting video for this, so we're going to see how this goes. It's a little bit laggy. I'd like to get a better frame rate, but I'm going to see, and hopefully we'll have some kind of video version for this week to go on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/RSBNBstaff, which will be interesting to see how it goes, because we want to try and promote it a bit more and make it a little bit more interactive. So we'll see how all that goes. But aside from that, just been doing a bit of coding and design work this week, aside from the RS Water Fiends, as I mentioned. So that's about it for me. I don't think we have anything else to mention aside from that. Next week will be a busy week in terms of RS updates, RS content, and it's also a focus week. So I
we
don't know
make
if we'll
it.
Be doing actually questions next week, but we'll see. So a reminder that we do need those questions. We could have went with a couple more questions this week, I think. So please do send us those questions. We need those. Anything else?
Not really.
All right, then. I think we're done. This has been RSBNB Update 357, and I'll see you next week. Goodbye, everyone.